Well, welcome to it then, the Sweet Sprot, brought to you by The Racing Post, sponsored by SBK, and it is the big one, the Open Championship. I'm Dave Clark, here's Steve Palmer, and hopefully can steer you on to the winner of the fourth and final major in the golf season. Steve, the big one has arrived.
Good morning, Dave. Yeah, they don't get bigger than this. I'm trying to stay calm. This is probably the biggest week of our lives. I think we can bill it as that. I mean, the birth of my two children, the wedding to my lovely wife, yeah, they are in a separate category here. In terms of sporting drama, Dave, I think you'll agree what we've got ahead of us here. Yeah, the final round of the Open Championship on the same day as a World Cup final that England are potentially going to be in. Yeah, this is literally unprecedented, Dave. I've looked into it. The 1966 Open Championship, that was won by Jack Nicklaus, but that finished on July 9th, Dave. And then the 1966 World Cup final, the only previous time England have ever been in the World Cup final, was on July 30. So they had a 21-day gap between the two things, Dave, back then. But we might not get any gap. I mean, the RNA said they're going to push the tee times forward if England get to the final.
I'll make them right as well, yeah.
Oh, I make them ruddy right. But, you know, the RNA do not like two tee starts. So it's going to be a one tee start. You know, what if we get a playoff, Dave? You know, it's a three-hole playoff. I am a bit panic-stricken about overlap. But, yeah, certainly excitement level is extremely high. Let's hope England beat Argentina tomorrow night.
Okay, well, listen, how's the Steve karma going? We're about 2 weeks in. I feel like you've abandoned that for this week already.
I'm overwhelmed this week. No, I'm overwhelmed with all sorts of emotions. You won't get Steve karma today, I'm afraid to say. Yeah, I'm so excited about the week ahead. I think England are going to beat Argentina. I don't know how you feel. I think we might edge it. I think Harry Kane will be Sir Harry Kane in the fullness of time. I think we'll have Sir Jude Bellingham. I mean, we can't have Sir Thomas Tuchel, I'm afraid to say. I've looked into that as well, but you can get...
I think we should have a Sir Jed Spence as well. So it was one of the YouTube commentators requesting an apology from you.
You won't be getting an apology from me.
I think the worst player to ever wear an England shirt. The words of Steve Palmer.
Massive liability. I don't know who you think is the worst player to wear an England shirt, but I still think he's a massive liability. He let a load of crosses in. I think the reaction to his performance has been massively overboard. I still think he's a potential liability. I pray he's not going to start tomorrow. I think we might edge them.
And
Thomas Tuchel can get an honorary knighthood. Because he's German, it's a bit complicated, but he can get an honorary knighthood. And I think he deserves one.
Right, we can... come back to the football, okay? We will come back to the football because that's not why people have tuned in. But we've got the colours on. This could be, you know, the show in which our next show, we're world champions. So we can be excited, right? We can be. This time next week, we could be world champions. But we'll come back to the football because it is, of course, the Open Championship. Just give us a little bit of colour, Steve. This is the big one, the biggest one.
It's at Royal Birkdale, Dave, and I've got the cap on, and I must thank John Owen from Formby, an absolutely legendary character, the famous Joff, written about him a lot. He's been a Racing Post reader his entire life. He bought the very first Racing Post. He buys them all the time, and he's always sending messages of support and gifts, and he sent a Royal Birkdale cap from the club shop to get me inspired for this week. He sent one for my son as well, so thank you so much, John Owen from Formby. I've got the cap on and I've got it all sorted, Dave. I've got a real handle on it. Going to get the winner for John Owen from Formby. Going to get the winner for everyone else.
Brilliant. We will get on to all of that. You're, of course, here on the Racing Post YouTube channel. We've got you covered for all sorts of sports all week, all weekend. We've got the whole lot for you. So do like, comment, subscribe. Make sure you subscribe to the channel because the content is ramping up week after week, day after day. There's more and more coming on the Racing Post YouTube channel. So do get involved and we want to hear from you as well. So jump in the comments below. Do you prefer Steve Palmer or Steve Karma? And who will be winning the golf and the football this week as well? We want it all. We want the whole lot. We're, of course, sponsored by SBK. Make sure you jump onto their website, betsbk.com. They're, of course, the betting partners of the DP World Tour as well. So they are the place to be. Sharpest odds around. And, of course, there's bonuses coming out your ear holes every week. We'll give you more information on that as well a little bit later on. You can get £60 in free bets with SBK. You know the drill by now. Bet your first £20 and you can get up to £60 in free bets. Terms and conditions are on the website, 18+. Gamble aware. Right, let's look back before we look forward. We'll start with the Scottish Open. Tom Kim, 17 under par. First success for him in 3 years, and he credits some of it to his good friend, Tiger Woods.
Yeah, Tom Kim is back in business. I mean, we saw that at the US Open day, finished third there. We backed him for his next start at the John Deere Classic, you might remember. Putted abysmally in the John Deere Classic. He was the 67th best putter in the John Deere out of 79 weekend qualifiers. So that was hugely off-putting with regards to the Scottish Open. And he didn't putt well for the first 3 days of the Scottish Open, but then he held everything on Sunday. It's a great front-running performance in the end. He hadn't played any Lynx golf until 2022. So he was a latecomer to Lynx golf, but fell in love with it straight away. Finished third in the Scottish Open that year, was second in the 2023 Open. So he has to be considered for the Open Championship this week, Dave. He'll be on a lot of people's shortlist.
Okay, right. He was the winner. Two shots over Minwoo Lee. Then we had Bobby Mack, who was your guy, Nakajima, Kiefer, Fitzpatrick. I want to start sorely, but quite remarkably, with Tyrrell Hatton, who was your pick. Head in hands, the first hole. But I thought he did miraculously well to finish where he did.
Yeah, it's a brave fight back. He took three shots to get out of a fairway bunker on the first hole, which was his 10th hole. He did well to finish 17th in the end. So Tyrrell Hatton, absolute shocker when you check the leaderboard and that happens. But shows that he's perhaps a little bit calmer. He's become a father, and I think he's a little bit calmer. He recovered well from that. I think Minwoo Lee, you must mention that Minwoo Lee won the Scottish Open in 2021. So he's finished runner-up last week, and he won that event in 2021. You know, clearly a really capable Lynx golfer. You know, Tom Kim and Minwoo Lee have to be massively on your Open radar, because they play Lynx golf well. But Minwoo Lee has missed three of his five Open cuts, so that's a little bit off-putting. Neither Kim or Lee have made my staking plan this week, but I do respect their chances. Bobby Mack, you mentioned, Dave. Blimey. I mean, you know, he hit the front on Sunday. I don't know what you were doing on Sunday. It was a really hot day. I watched a lot of the final round of the Scottish Open. McIntyre finished third, but it doesn't tell the whole story. Hits the front, Scottish crowd going bananas. Everything looking rosy for Bobby McIntyre. Everything looking rosy for us. But he missed a short birdie part of the third hole, Dave. And then he made bogeys at 4, 6, 9 and 10. So steam coming out of his ears when he left the 10th green. Steam coming out of my ears when he left the 10th green. Rallied to get the place money, but missed a short birdie part on the last hole. So, yeah, Bobby McIntyre, I don't think that was excellent preparation, the Scottish Open. I don't think it went well for him, because I don't know if you were following the weather delays on Saturday, Dave.
Yeah, it was really hard to follow, because I was trying to track McIlroy, and I was thinking, hold on, he's like a round behind at one stage. You're trying to work out, you know, what's he going to do in his third round, and where will he be? And the market was a bit all over the place, so it was tough to follow.
Yeah. The fog came in, Dave, on Saturday, ruined Saturday. So you had big delays for your Bobby McIntyre, your Rory McIlroy, waiting to play on Saturday. And then they got out really late on Saturday, but they didn't get many holes in. So then they've come off. Then they've watched the England game in the evening, no doubt. So they've had a late night. Then they've had to get up really early. Then they've had a marathon Sunday with loads of holes on the Sunday. So I don't think it was great prep for McIntyre and McIlroy in the end. McIlroy had a very up and down week. You must have been following that. Yeah, really bad round three. And then, final round at 64. So he ended with a decent round. But he was really grinding yesterday on the range. I've been following the
Range cast, you love that one, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, we have video streams as well, live video streams from Birkdale yesterday. And he spent ages on the driving range. He doesn't seem entirely happy with his game. So, both the market leaders this week, you know, a few question marks about whether they've got their A game in place.
Indeed, we'll get on to them. Anyone else you'd like to mention? Matt Fitzpatrick, yet again, a big showing.
Yeah, Matt Fitzpatrick bubbling away nicely. He'd be very popular this week. Lots of people backing Matt Fitzpatrick to win the Open. Scotty Scheffler, not as popular in the market. Missed his first cut in almost 4 years last week. 68-72. Missed the cut by two shots. I thought the most interesting aspect of it, he was 121st for greens in regulation in round two. You know, I can't remember ever seeing Scheffler that low down in the greens regulation stats. Confidence must have been dented a little bit by that. Plenty of big names missed the cut though, Dave. Scotty Scheffler, Ludwig Aubert, Brooks Koepka, Shane Lowry, Xander Schauffele. What a what a short game slump Xander Schauffele's in. So, the benefit for some of those guys is that they get to Birkdale earlier and get more practice in at Birkdale. But it's all in the melting pot, Dave. All the calculations have been made. Very excited.
Can I tell you one player that made the cut and makes the sweet spot bingo card every single week? One player that made the cut was Michael Thorbjørnsen. Didn't he play well?
He did do well, Dave. Yeah, he was flirting.
He's still in the bin, but didn't he play well?
Yeah, I mean, he was flirting with the lead and then he finished seventh, so it was still a typically disappointing last few holes. But yeah, hasn't got much links experience. Yeah, maybe Thorbjørnsen is gonna. Maybe Thorbjørnsen.
He putted well. He did putt well. Yeah.
Yeah, which is a great boost for Thorbjørnsen fans because that is the traditional weakness. So yeah, I knew you'd be excited with that, Dave. I'm glad he's out of your bin.
Yeah, no, he's not. He's still in there. Don't worry about that. Right, anyone or anything to add from the Scottish Open?
No, we better have a brief look at the ISCO.
Okay, can we have a little computer battery check? Are we all right? Because I know you're a bit worried.
Yes. Come on, Dave. Yeah, there's technical issues, Dave. There's technical issues. Everyone knows. The viewers, tell the viewers what's happening.
Steve's come on. How many?
57%. Yeah, the battery is buckled under the strain of the hot weather. You know, I mentioned how hot it gets in the work shed, and I obviously suffer with that. I didn't realise it was having an effect on the computer. The poor computer can't handle it, and I can't spray water. I can't pour water over him.
Are you sure that wasn't an issue? You might have affected the battery.
Oh, you reckon it's down to that, dear? No.
Battery worries, so we need to press
on.
Battery
worries, so yeah. But don't worry, 57% will get us through.
Well, I'm sure you came on with 54%, so I'm not sure how you've gained
3%. We started on 57, we're still 57, Dave. So,
okay, that's good.
I said, keep the pace up, and you're actually talking about the battery now, Dave.
We'll have another check after we've looked back on the ISCO Championship, which was won by Stephen Fisk at 16 under par. Playoff win over Taylor Pendrith. Aaron Wise was up there. Ben Silverman, talk to us. What unfolded?
Second PGA Tour title for Stephen Fisk. He's on the shortlist because he was one of the few in the field with recent winning experience. He won the Sanderson Farms Championship in October, and he had course experience. There weren't many in that field that had that combination, but he was rubbish in the John Deere Classic. You know, Tom Kim and Stephen Fisk would have put a lot of people off in the John Deere Classic. Prior to that, they were both playing really well. So, disappointing. Tough one for the punters to get because of that John Deere Classic performance. Beat Taylor Pendrith in a playoff. And Mackenzie Hughes was our best tip in that. Unbelievable putting performance on Sunday, just so bad. He had a horrible lip out on the final hole. He finished 46th in the putting stats. This is one of the best putters on the PGA Tour. Finished 46th in the putting stats and lost the tournament by 4 shots. So really, really annoying. But we got place money elsewhere. Robert McIntyre obviously placed. The Racing Post subscribers, Racing Post Plus subscribers, had a winner in the Champions Tour Major. Zach Johnson, and we nearly had a 66-1 winner in the LPGA Tour Major, Dave. Brooke Henderson lost a playoff there. So some place money coming in. The subscribers are happy. I'm happy. Jackson Coyven didn't win, which was the most important aspect of last week.
How did he get on? He wasn't on the leaderboard. I did check in on him at one point.
He came with a late rattle and then faltered over the final few holes, a little bit like Michael Thorbjørnsen. So yeah, Coyven got close enough to win with a flying finish over the last few holes, but fortunately dropped back to 10th place. So he tied 10th with Mackenzie Hughes in the end. So we ain't got to worry about Coyven winning that, and he's not playing this week.
Okay, that's a relief. Right, listen, just keep the place money rolling in to stay in the game, because the winners will come. Winners will come, I've got the faith. I must mention, well done to colleague Joe Champion, who did tip Tom Kim in his Racing and Football Outlook column. Do check in, you know, you want to be hearing from Steve, but you also want to be hearing from the likes of James Mason. Joe Champion as well, very talented tipping team at the Racing Post and the RFO as well. So well done to the champ. I think we should just get to it, should we?
Very much so, John. Biggest golf tournament of the whole year. Been telling my family how important it is. Tommy Tiger wants to play football every night. He loves his football. He wants to be the next Jordan Pickford, actually. And I want to encourage that, but at certain times, I need to just focus on the job in hand.
Okay, well, we're, of course, sponsored by SBK, so do make sure that you jump onto their website, because they've always got the winning boosts and bonuses for you, so make sure you jump onto there and check out the boost. You find the winner this week, and they'll add a little bit on top for you, so that winning boost is always there every week on selected tournaments, this week, of course, included. Let's get to it, then. The 154th Open Championship. It is, quite rightly, the last major of the year, Steve. It is the big one. 11th time at Royal Birkdale. 2018, Padraig Harrington, 3 over par. 2017, Jordan Spieth, 12 under par. Just a bit of a contrast there. So talk to us about the course first, more than anything else.
Royal Birkdale, Southport, Merseyside, England. 7,223 yards, par 72, par 5s, 12 par 4s, 4 par 3s. Founded in 1889. As you say, so she had 10 opens. Most recently, 1991, 1998, 2008, 2017. Yeah, Harrington 3 over par when he won. Spieth 12 under in the kinder conditions of 2017. You know, we're going to get kinder conditions this week. You know, the gentle breezes only. But it's a baked golf course, Dave. Which puts a lot of pressure on your short game. Yeah, absolutely. And, there's some other form that punters can go through from the Amateur Championship. The Amateur Championship at Birkdale in 2005 and 2020. I've done that work for you. I wouldn't actually bother. Tom McKibben played okay in the 2020 Amateur Championship, but there's not many players in this field that played in that. This is a flat track by open standards. One of the fairest on the open rota. No hidden tricks. No blind tee shots, not many quirky bounces that you can get at other tracks on the open rota. Avoiding the fairway bunker is the key to success. Staying out of fescue rough, obviously. And these runoff areas around the greens, Dave, they're so in play in these conditions. We're in a heat wave. The course, as you say, is already turning a bit brown. It'd be so hard to control the ball on and around the greens. It's been toughened up a bit since 2017. The 15th hole has become an absolute beast. If you par the 15th hole this week, then you have done extremely well. It's a 241 yard par three. Ooh. So yeah, firm, fast conditions. Only gentle breezes coming, which will be a relief for the players. Accuracy from tee to green is essential. Magical short game needed around these browns. A field of 156 is going to post. Place your bets by 6:35 a.m. UK time on Thursday.
Early start Thursday. You mentioned the bunkers there. There's a quote from Tommy Fleetwood, who of course knows the course very, very well. And he says it's one of the rare golf courses in which every single bunker is in play.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you want to take some bunkers out of play, you've got to lay up so far back that you give yourself a really, really difficult, impossible long second. So, strategy very important in this Open Championship. And, not be many drivers here this week, I'd say.
No, but they might get plenty of roll out of their tee shots regardless. Right, some stats for you. Last 8 Open winners all ranked in the top 5 for scrambling the year that they won. The last 4 have all finished 10th, 12th, 15th and 8th in the Scottish Open. So perhaps, I'll get your view on that, Steve. Are we looking for someone who went well last week? And 9 of the last 11 Open winners had won earlier in the season. So you're not just going to rock up here and win for the first time in however many years. What are your thoughts on some of those stats?
Well, the last 5 Open winners played in the Scottish Open. Yeah, playing in the Scottish Open has become a really, really advantageous thing. But, yeah, the Renaissance Club played a lot different to how Birkdale's going to play this week. You know, so softer conditions and... I think Birkdale is a more unique test. And I think it also, the point must be made that the Scottish Open has become such a strong event. You know,
co-sanctioned now, yeah.
Co-sanctioned, all the best players playing it. Yeah, that stat about how many Open winners are playing in the Scottish Open, it reminds me a bit of that stat we used to have at the start of the PGA Tour season with the Century Tournament of Champions followed by the Sony Open. And you had so many Sony Open winners had played in the Century the previous week, but then all the best players were playing in the Century, so that...
So they're all there anyway. The
best players are likely to win. So, I'm not getting too hung up on preparation, actually. I've got my staying plan's got a mixture.
What about scrambling stats? Are you had a look at that? Are you looking for scramblers?
I think a sharp short game is absolutely essential. Yeah, being a great chipper. We try and be chipper on this podcast.
We do, nice, yeah.
Cheerful and chipper. But being a good chipper, being a chipper, is really important this week because that is probably the toughest assignment that the guys are going to face. I got a mixture of preparation. 2 players that played in the Scottish Open last week, and then 3 that didn't.
5. Okay, we've got 5 players. Previous winners then: Scotty Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Brian Harman, Cam Smith, Colin Morikawa. You've got 5 players, right?
I've got 5 players. My 2 main bets did play in the Scottish Open last week.
Okay, right, market check then before we get Steve's view. And Scotty Scheffler is 17-2/8-1 in places. Remarkable. Massive, massive price. Rory McIlroy is actually contesting favouritism. As big as 10s in a place. Then we've got Fitzpatrick, Tommy Fleetwood, John Rahm. Xander Schauffele is as big as 28. Colin Morikawa, 33s bar. Five selections. Who is the pick then for the Open Championship, Steve?
Tommy Fleetwood, who I fully expect to be in contention on Sunday. You get the usual naysayers queuing up now to have a pop at me, questioning Fleetwood's win rate. It's become fashionable to get on the back of the likes of Tommy Fleetwood and Ludwig Aubert for not winning enough tournaments, Dave. But who can you be certain of actually winning tournaments at the moment? Scotty Scheffler is not winning tournaments. Rory McIlroy has only won once this year. Winning tournaments is difficult, Dave. And Fleetwood and Aubert get unfair amount of criticism in this regard in my eyes. I think as punters, particularly for majors, Dave, where we get these enhanced each-way terms. Yeah, there's look at the each-way terms for majors. They're absolutely fantastic, aren't they? So I think when you're punting on the majors, it's really important to consider who is the most likely to contend. Yeah, forget about winning. Who's going to be on that leaderboard? And I think Tommy Fleetwood is arguably the most likely contender in this entire field. Ultra consistent. 10 top 15 finishes this year, including 5 in a row coming into this Open. Relentlessly efficient ball striker. When he putts well, he usually banks an enormous check. Lack of driving distance in comparison to his elite rivals is perhaps his only slight weakness. Not an issue this week, Dave. Course absolutely baked. Ball running forever. Fleetwood's control counts for much more. His links nous counts for much more. He may be the best links golfer in this field, Dave. I mean, you know, name a better links golfer in this field than Tommy Fleetwood. Maybe his mate Shane Lowry might have something to say about that. Padraig Harrington and Darren Clarke have to accept their best days are behind them. Fleetwood's certainly in the top five links golfers in this field. Runner-up in the 2019 Open, fourth in 2022, 10th in 2023. And I think much better equipped to handle the pressures of being the local hero than he was in 2017. Bear in mind, Dave, when he arrived for that 2017 Open at Birkdale, he'd never made the cut before in an Open. He had this huge spotlight on him because he had a couple of early season DP World Tour wins. He was the main focus that week, and he'd never even made a cut in the Open before that week. Then he opens with a 76 at Birkdale. Completely understandable under that much pressure. A miscut seems likely. Then bravely battled back. A Friday 69, a Saturday 66, a Sunday 70, tied for 27th place. Really gutsy effort from a youngster who was still rough around the edges. He teed off that week, having only made the cut in a major twice before. And now he comes back to Birkdale, a completely different beast for me. He's contended in numerous majors. He's won 8 times on the DP World Tour. He won the Tour Championship last year on the PGA Tour. Massive event. Massive event. They're all really geared up for winning that Tour Championship day. I think Fleetwood deserves enormous credit for beating an elite field in the Tour Championship. It's a magnificent win there. And most importantly, Dave, he's become a Ryder Cup legend, I think you'll agree. Do you agree before I could explain?
I do, yeah.
I mean, Tommy Fleetwood is a Ryder Cup legend. He had never even played in the Ryder Cup when he teed off at Birkdale in 2017. Now he's made 4 appearances and he's won 12 points. 12 points from a possible 17. Top scorer in the last Ryder Cup. Away at Bethpage Black. Top scorer. Fleetwood is a beast in the Ryder Cup. He's and the Ryder Cup is the ultimate pressure cooker, Dave. It's the ultimate pressure cooker. So, you know, the people, the naysayers when they come out, questioning Fleetwood. I think, look at what he's done in the Ryder Cup. The ultimate pressure cooker. He has been an absolute colossus. He's going to have everybody cheering him on this week, but I think he's going to thrive under these conditions, unlike he did in 2017. He's not going to be fazed by it. I think, you know, England are going to win tomorrow night. It's going to be a wonderful feel-good factor around Birkdale. It's going to be a wonderful feel-good factor at Birkdale all week. And I think we're going to get we're potentially going to get the dream sporting week. Okay. Final point, Dave, because I know you want me to shut up and you're worried about the battery. Final point, because you found it hard to follow that Scottish Open. I was all over it like a rash. Fleetwood had an ideal warm-up. Those weather delays did not impact Tommy Fleetwood. He played 18 holes on each day. He got finished on the Saturday before the buzzer went. Completed his third round on Saturday. So I think he had a perfect warm-up. I think he's the perfect player for Birkdale. And I believe in him. We're with you, Tommy lad. We're with you, Tommy. Come on, Tommy lad. You'll hear that a lot this week. Come on, Tommy lad. I'm a believer, Dave. I'm a believer. It's coming home. Golf is coming home.
Nice. Listen, you ram home just the local factor. You mentioned local favourite. There's certainly plenty of local knowledge in there as well.
Yeah, he's born in Southport, and he used to climb over the fence with his dad to sneak a few holes in. He's been a member for his entire life. Yeah, his caddy. The local flavour of his caddy. His caddy used to be the assistant pro, Ian Finnis, at Formby Hall. You know, John Owen from Formby will know Formby Hall. So Ian Finnis is from the area. His massive 8 foot tall caddy. He'll keep the Tommy lads under control. This would be such a beautiful moment. I suppose I am a bit of a romantic character at times, Dave. Like to get a bit of spaghetti bolognese and up to the wife there before I get she punches me in the face. But I'm also a hard nosed punter, Dave. I'm not putting money on anything just because I want it to happen and I think it'll be a lovely story. Yeah, I think an each way bet on Tommy Fleetwood is absolutely watertight because he's just the most likely title contender for me. He's the most likely title contender. So yeah, this is not me getting carried away in the moment, Dave. You know, finance is very important for me. I've got two young kids.
And get as many places as possible, right?
Yeah, get as many places as possible, but you can win this golf tournament. You know, did you think he was going to win the Tour Championship when you go to the Tour Championship?
No.
He's beaten an elite field
That's
there.
Big money, that is, as well. Big money, so it's kind
big,
of...
Yeah, they're all really
I'm here. That felt like him kind of... we knew he's elite, but felt like him arriving.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, I think he'd take a lot from that. He knows he's capable of beating an elite field. And in the Ryder Cup, as I say, I always have the Ryder Cup down as the ultimate pressure, and he's proved himself in that. So, yeah, Fleetwood all the way for me, son.
Okay, marvellous. Right, football and golf are coming home, according to Steve Palmer. Who is the next best?
Tyrrell Hatton, Dave.
I knew it.
England 1, England 2. we can't lose. An English 1-2 is on the cards. Hopefully the World Cup feel-good factor continues through the semi-finals. The kick-off times are worth mentioning, aren't they? I mean, the kick-off time tomorrow night is only 8 p.m, so it's fine. It's a sensible time. No concerns about the guys, because obviously the Open Championship's the following day. But Fleetwood is out at 10:09 a.m. on Thursday. Hatton is out at 9:58 a.m. So you go to bed after the England game, hopefully euphoric. Plenty of time to prepare for round one on Thursday morning. I think both of them are going to be... bold bid for the Claret Jug. Hatton has been on the Open leaderboard a couple of times. He was 5th in 2016, 6th in 2019. I'm not remotely concerned about the missed cut at Birkdale in 2017 because he was in terrible form coming into the event. The Open was his 5th consecutive missed cut that year. He missed the cut in every 2017 major. Like with Fleetwood, a different player back then, Hatton had only won one DP World Tour title coming into that 2017 Open. He'd never played in the Ryder Cup. Fast forward 9 years... like Fleetwood, he's played in 4 Ryder Cups. They've both been on the winning team 3 times. 9.5 points to Hatton's name. He's won on the PGA Tour. He's made billions on the LIV circuit. He's had 2 wins as an individual on the LIV circuit. And he's become a regular major contender, Dave. He's got a handle on Augusta. He never used to like Augusta. 9-14-3 in the last 3 Masters. 4-7 in the last 2 US Opens. 4 top 20s in the last 6 Opens. Hatton is ready. Hatton is ready to win majors. Fleetwood is 35 years of age. Hatton is 34. 2 Englishmen in their absolute prime, ready to win an Open in England. Hatton has won the Dunhill Links Championship 3 times. He's finished runner-up in that twice. Great Links golfer. It's Fleetwood v Hatton down the stretch, battling for the title for me on Sunday. Fleetwood's the better ball striker of the two. Hatton's the better putter of the two. May the best man win. I think an Englishman wins the Open on Sunday, Dave. Then probably a load of Frenchmen win the World Cup on Sunday night, but you never know.
You said Hatton's the best. Fleetwood's the best links player in the field, and Hatton sprung to mind for me that he might actually be right. He's certainly both of them in the top 5.
Yeah, definitely Fleetwood. I mean, Hatton's win has become Hatton's Dunhill Links record is fantastic, but it must be said that's an easier links than you get in the Opens. But he has played well in the Opens as well. I mean, he's very, very straight, isn't he? You know, he's got the perfect game for this week's assignment. You know, arrow straight, short game to die for. You know, bottle now. You know, he's bundles of bottle. And as you say, great recovery last week from that triple bogey at the first hole.
He was the first player, as soon as the Scottish Open finished, he was the first player I checked his price, and he's still out there in the place. This certainly was yesterday. 40-1. It's crazy.
It's crazy. I mean, he was a big price last week and until that triple bogey at the first hole, and he's a big price this week. I mean, you know, he's got the nappy factor as well, Dave. I mean, this is all icing on the cake stuff, but he is staying calmer now. He became a father in May. And do you remember before the 2016 Masters, you know, Danny Willett, another Englishman, had a baby. He became a father 12 days before the Masters and then shocked everyone by winning the Masters. You know, Willett was inspired. Hatton is inspired at the moment. I think he could bring the claret jug home to little Althea. Little Althea, that could be a wonderful toy to present to little Althea on Monday morning, the claret jug. You can do all sorts with the claret jug, Dave.
Okay, well, if he carried my money, you know, I think he's a crazy price. You know, it's more than double the price of Fleetwood. They are your...
Of course you can put ladybirds in the jug, of course you can put... That's a very poor Padraig Arrington accent there. But I remember Padraig Arrington, he had young children when he was winning at Birkdale back in the day, 2008. I was there, and his young son was desperate to put ladybirds in the claret jug, you see. So it is a good toy. That's the point I'm making. Hatton can present that to Althea. She might want to put ladybirds in the claret jug. And then he can say, of course you can put ladybirds in the claret jug, Althea.
Okay, yeah, all right. Okay. Let's move on. Right, really? Third selection from yourself, Steve. You've given us five.
I've given you two. Yeah, I've given you two. Yeah, Cameron Young is the third selection, Dave. Cameron Young. I fancy the Englishman, but I have to give due respect to the American contingent. 6 of the 10 Opens at Birkdale have been won by an American. The last 3 Opens have been won by an American. 4 of the last 5 Opens have been won by an American. The first 3 home last year were all American. You know, Americans do well in the Open Championship, Dave. And this week, we've got Florida-like weather in Southport. You know, it's just beautiful, beautiful weather. They should open a blimmin' Disney World up in Southport this week. And
I'm not sure they have too many brown greens in Florida, but the weather is the same.
No,
yeah?
Fair point. But yeah, there's certainly... Yeah, I mean, obviously, when you get the wind and the rain and... You worry about the Americans who are not used to that weather like we are. But, yeah, they're going to love the conditions this week. And the best value American for me is Cameron Young, who's become a forgotten man. Not long ago, Cameron Young was the world number 3. He's still world number 4, yet deep in the betting. Have a look, Dave. He's deep in the betting. I don't think he's getting enough respect. He made his PGA Tour breakthrough in August last year. Then he was the best player for Team USA in the Ryder Cup, a barnstorming Ryder Cup debut. Carried that confidence into this year, won the Players' Championship, won the Cadillac Championship, tied 26th in the USPGA. That was the start of a little mini slump. You know, he seemed to be burnt out. Do you remember at the time I was saying he's playing a heavy schedule here, signature events every week. He seemed to get burnt out a little bit. His putting form dipped sharply for a few weeks. But this is a small sample size, Dave. I think that the bookmakers have overreacted to this small sample size. The last time we saw him competing was in the Travelers Championship, and he came alive over the weekend, closed with rounds of 66 and 63, 4 under par for his final 6 holes, finally started holing some putts again, and then nicely rested since the Travelers. This is a man who's shown he can handle links golf. First played links golf, Dave, in 2010. He went on a holiday to Scotland in 2010 with his dad. His dad well-connected. They played St Andrews, they played Carnoustie, they played North Berwick. And yeah, he fell in love with links golf immediately back then. Then he made a barnstorming Open debut in 2022. You must remember the 2022 Open at St Andrews. Cameron Young finishes runner-up. He was 8th the following year at Royal Liverpool, which is along the coastline, not far from Birkdale. So solid Open record, solid majors record generally. And all that good work he's done in the Open thus far was as a PGA Tour maiden, Dave. You know, this is his first Open as a PGA Tour champion, more assured than ever, and I don't mind that preparation. I don't mind the preparation. Every player's got their preference. He doesn't like the Renaissance Club. He opted to skip the Scottish Open. He went to Birkdale nice and early, got all the jet lag out of his system. He was playing there on Saturday. He had a practice round with Scottie Scheffler on Sunday. You're getting a class act at a juicy price, Dave.
Yeah, I've just looked down, and he's the same price as Hatton. There's 40s out there. Which is a bit wild. That sounds like the story of the winner as well. You know, he came over on holiday with his dad.
Yeah.
Who's his dad then, to be well connected?
Well, PGA professional. Yeah. If you've got a PGA professional dad, it does help open a few doors for you.
Fair enough. Right, that is three. The prices get bigger, I'm assuming.
Very much so, John. Yeah, very much so. And I've got some fantastic news for you, Dave. We're still on 57% on the battery, so I really have... I'm feeling so relieved.
It sounds to me like you've just got it plugged in and it's working now. I don't think there's anything to worry about.
It should go up, shouldn't it? But the viewers don't need to worry about that. But I just wanted you to know.
We're safe now. We're home. We're sort of over 30 minutes in. We're going to cruise home. We're going to cruise home.
What do you want to talk about? We got all the time in the world. What do you want to talk about? How's your mum?
I'll tell you what we can talk about, right? I was absolutely livid this morning. Absolutely livid.
How were you?
Done the school run, dropped everyone off, and I'm driving past the school, and there's a young lad on his bike. I reckon he was 8 or 9 years old, and a gentleman on his bike, who I'll be hoping to bump into tomorrow. And this gentleman went straight into this 8-year-old in the middle of the road, bike on bike, and this poor lad has gone over, he's cut his mouth. I stopped, pulled over, as did another lady. This guy looked down, said something, and rode off. So I'll be hoping to bump into him tomorrow outside the school.
That's
so,
a
yeah.
Disgrace, isn't it? Yeah.
No good. That's not good.
That's a disgrace. No, so
that is disgraceful behaviour. Absolutely
yeah,
shocking.
Yeah, yeah. Community spirit is not high. I thought this World Cup campaign was bringing us all together, but...
it's all right. We'll bring together tomorrow. It's not a problem. It's all good. We'll see him tomorrow, because I'm sure he lives near the school. So, but anyway, let's get back on track.
Dave's getting his fighting boots on. He's getting tall.
No, that's poor. I don't like that. That's poor. No, but right.
What?
Big prices. Talk to me. What have we got? Next one.
Hideki Matsuyama! Hideki Matsuyama. Class act at a juicy price. Cameron Young, class act at a juicy price. Hideki Matsuyama, class act at a juicy price. The 2021 Masters champion. An 11-time PGA Tour champion, a 13-time PGA Tour champion, if you include the Hero World Challenge. A 34-year-old who has always been one of the best iron players on the PGA Tour, regular major contender, he's finished runner-up in a US Open, he's finished fourth in a US PGA. And his Open record is pretty solid, Dave. He was sixth on debut in 2013. And that sixth place came despite a very controversial one-shot penalty for slow play during round three. I thought it was extremely harsh. You know, those are the days when I used to go to the Open. You know, picking on the newcomer, I didn't like it. You know, he was playing a shot, really difficult shot out of the rough that he took a couple of minutes to play. So despite that, you know, he's always been cool as a cucumber. I mean, if he had a Fitbit on it, the heart rate would just never change. He's like a robot. He finished sixth on his Open debut. And then, he's been pretty steady. He's been pretty steady in Opens. He finished 12th. He finished 12th. Sorry, Dave, I just got a bit of a fly. Some sort of insect went in.
Well, you know what? Flies fly around, yeah.
Yeah, this is 12th Open start, Dave. So vastly experienced Open performer. And he finished 14th at Birkdale in 2017. 14th on this course in 2017, and I think this week the conditions are just ideal for Hideki Matsuyama. Firm, fast conditions. We mentioned earlier, leave your driver in the bag. Your driver is the one club that causes Hideki Matsuyama massive issues. He might as well snap it. If I was his caddy, I would just snap it just before his first round, because he doesn't need it this week. The ball's running forever. And his iron play is still absolutely elite. And his chipping, you know, we talked about being a chipper. He is massively underrated chipper. And his putting, get this, Dave. He's gaining strokes putting for the first time in 7 years this season.
Wow.
So his putting's improved. His chipping's always amazing. His iron play's always amazing. Just get it in play off the tee. And then he's a huge runner. No Asian has ever won the Open Championship. Tom Kim is getting all the attention from the Asian media. Everyone thinks Tom Kim's the main man this week, but I think it's Hideki Matsuyama. You know, Asia's best ever player. He's won two PGA Tour titles in Hawaii. He's won two Hero World Challenge titles in the Bahamas. So winning form by the coast in the Travellers Championship last time out. I like that finish from Cameron Young. I liked everything I saw from Hideki Matsuyama. 67, 67, 66, 66, 14th place. Another forgotten man. Cameron Young and Hideki Matsuyama get no respect in the market.
Yeah, he has actually been on the radar, Matsuyama. There's been a couple of good showings from him recently. And I'm sure, once upon a time, he was an elite putter. So what has happened to him?
Well, no, putting's always been the issue. An elite chipper is
putting. What about, like, I'm talking when he first came, I would add him down as a good putter.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, he won the Memorial back in the day, didn't he, for his first one. He's always had balls of steel. I think I've always thought he's capable of winning an Open. And, I think this is a great chance. And you'll have to dig deep in the betting to find him, Dave.
And you think the greatest Asian player?
Yeah,
ever.
I'd struggle to think of it.
There's a lot of people in Asia. I'm surprised that they've not had an Open winner yet.
Who are you going for? Jumbo Ozaki. Who are you going for? I would have him down.
I suppose he has to be, yeah.
No, I suppose I did tee you up to waffle with the 57%. How is your mum? We want to finish within an hour, don't we?
She's not interested in how you are. I can assure you of that.
We're still on 57%, so everything's looking rosy. I've got one more tip at a massive price, Dave.
Okay, well, Matsuyama's a fair price himself, to be fair. He's 95 out there, Matsuyama, if you shop around. Who is the final selection then?
Another American, Akshay Bhatia.
Yes.
Who first started playing links golf in the summer of 2019. He was a 17-year-old amateur at the time. He came over to Blighty to get a taste for links golf. He played in some amateur competitions. He played in the 2019 Walker Cup at Royal Liverpool, just down the coast from Birkdale. It was perfect weather that week, Dave. Firm, fast conditions, like we're getting this week. Bhatia was the youngest member of Team USA, so he played in only 3 matches that week, but he won 2 of them. He thrashed James Sugru in the final singles, helped his side to victory in that competition. So he's had a positive first memory of competing on this coastline. He showed on the Korn Ferry Tour how much he likes competing by the coast. He won his first event of the 2022 Korn Ferry Tour season in the Bahamas. He nearly successfully defended that title in 2023. He was runner-up in the 2023 Puerto Rico Open. Then he started winning these PGA Tour titles. He won once in 2023, once in 2024, once this year, Arnold Palmer Invitational, signature event, elite field. That was in March. Bhatia has got balls of steel. Got that phrase on the mind now, but inspect Akshay Bhatia's balls. You will find some steel inside them, Dave, because all 3 of his PGA Tour wins have come in playoffs. You know, that speaks volumes. He's quickly posted 2 top 20s in the US Open. He missed the cut by a shot on his Open debut in 2024, tied 30th last year. You might say he's still learning the ropes, Dave. You know, he hasn't got a huge amount of links experience, but such a good record by the coast. Such a good record by the coast. 4th in the 2024 Hero World Challenge, another example of that. 6th in the Pebble Beach Pro-Am this year, another example of that. He looked like he was going to win that at one stage. Great iron player, fantastic short game, second best putter on the PGA Tour, Dave. On the stats this season. Like Matsuyama, one weakness. Loose driving. Won't need the driver this week. His caddy is brilliant caddy. He's brilliant caddy. Used to caddy for Max Homa. Big, big beardy one. Joe Griner. If Griner can snap that caddy, if snap that driver, will have a better chance. Bhatia's last 2 starts. 17th in the US Open. 5th in the Travellers Championship. Did the same as Cameron Young. Got to Birkdale early. Didn't bother with the Scottish Open. He was playing a practice round with Ricky Fowler on Sunday, I noticed. 100-1, Dave.
It's out there for the ashtray. It's out there.
The ashtray. Yeah, yeah, the ashtray, mate. Cigars. Cigars on Sunday for ashtray fans.
Yeah, friends with the big dog, the goat, the tiger.
Yeah, yeah, he'll tell him how to play a firm, fast. But
so who's number one in the putting stats? You said he's second.
Good question, actually, Dave. I think
not Sam Burns.
I think it might be something crazy. I think not Vince Whaley or something. I can't quite remember, though. But
yeah.
It might be Sam Burns. Yeah, yeah. I'm sorry, though. I don't know exactly, but I know.
The ashtray's in second. We know the ashtray's in second.
Yeah, he putts beautifully. Yeah, he putts beautifully. I mean, he hasn't got it anchored. You know, there's the naysayers are out. Oh, he's anchoring his putt. He isn't. There's a gap there. Let Bhatia putt. Let him win the Open.
What a final 2 ball that would be, Fleetwood. and Batia. There's some hair on show there. That's the yeah. the final two ball.
Yeah. No, I like that. Yeah. No, I'm excited about that two ball, Dave. And yeah, I'll just guide you through why we're not back in, you know, many.
Yeah, let's go then. Right, let's start with market leader, Scotty Scheffler. Some would say is absolutely gone at the game. What say you, Steve Palmer?
I don't think the miscut's a huge negative because he could get the Birkdale early, get more practice rounds in. Yeah, we mentioned that his focus was on Birkdale in our Scottish Open preview last week.
So,
I don't think it's a huge negative. I just think it's a dent of confidence. That second round, his iron play was abysmal. And, you know, his iron play has definitely dropped this season. That's the reason he's not winning titles. It's not at the same level. But, you know, the best player should win this week, Dave. You know, you've got the... This is one of the fairest courses on the open rotor. No strong winds coming. Yeah, the best player should win. But you know, Scotty Scheffler isn't playing like the best player in the world at the moment. So, yeah, no urge to take the short prices. McIlroy much more tempting. You know, McIlroy is my long-range fancy for this tournament, as you well know. Fourth at Birkdale in 2017. 8 top tens on his open record. Back-to-back Masters wins have taken all that major pressure off him. I was just put off by the Scottish Open, Dave. You know, that Saturday did not go to plan. It was a you know, dawn till dusk day, you know, late night. He had a late night that night, then an early rise. He played a million holes on Sunday, and then, as I say, on Monday he's just grinding away on the Rage. And that Scottish Open was a bit more important for him than the other members of the elite because he ain't been playing very much, has he, Rory? Like, yeah, he had 73-73 over the weekend of the US Open. Some of his wedges in the US Open were abysmal. And you know, he doesn't seem to he's struggling to find his A game because he's not been playing many tournaments. So yeah, but it was between McIlroy and Fleetwood for the main bet, and yeah, Fleetwood's double the price of McIlroy, and more likely to get in the mix, I'd say. So yeah, obviously I respect McIlroy. Yeah, I just lost a bit of passion for the price since last week's sweet spot, I'd say.
Yeah, when McIlroy won his first Masters, what was his schedule like leading up to that? Did he go really light? I've got it in my mind that he took a few weeks off, and it feels a bit like that.
Yeah, he didn't play much. Now, at the moment, he's just been going, you know, major one tournament, major one tournament. Yeah, he's playing a light schedule, but he just doesn't seem quite dialed in at the moment. So, yeah, given how short the price is, I'm going to have to reluctantly leave him out. But obviously, I fear him. I just think that Saturday didn't go well. I mean, he was drawn with Matt Fitzpatrick in round three of the Scottish Open. So Fitzpatrick had the same issues, and as I say, Fleetwood didn't have those issues. And I think it's really useful for Fleetwood. Now, you know, if it comes down to opinions, Dave, game of opinions, isn't it? I think Fleetwood's a better golfer than Matt Fitzpatrick. I mean, the Matt Fitzpatrick bandwagon is immense at the moment. He's running wild.
He's third favourite when my
He's first. Third in, and obviously he's got a chance. He's got a great chance, and you know, but everyone's loving Matt Fitzpatrick at the moment, and have, you know, the naysayers are out for Tommy Fleetwood in the betting community. I think Fleetwood's a better player than Matt Fitzpatrick. I know Matt Fitzpatrick's got the major win, and Fleetwood hasn't yet, but compare the Ryder Cup records. I keep harking back to the Ryder Cup. You know, Fitzpatrick's hardly won any points in the Ryder Cup. He's played the same amount. He's played 4 Ryder Cups, and you know, in the big moments, Fleetwood has performed under the ultimate pressure, and Fitzpatrick hasn't. I know he's got the major win, but yeah, I just think if I can get Fleetwood at a bigger price than Matt Fitzpatrick, which I can, on a links track, Fleetwood's the better links golfer. Fitzpatrick's open record is humdrum. For me, Fleet was the better value, but I know there's a huge army of Fitzpatrick fans out there, and yeah, obviously, you know, we all love him and we wish him well.
Well, listen, maybe if you shop around, I'm sure there'd be some sort of match bet out there. Would you want that if you could get odds against Fleetwood to beat Fitzpatrick? They're a similar price.
Oh, I would. I just think that the Scottish Open went better for Fleetwood than it did Fitzpatrick, McIlroy, and McIntyre. Fitzpatrick was grouchy as anything on Sunday night. I mean, you probably out in the sunshine, Dave, but sad acts like me were watching the Scottish Open flying around. And, you know, Matt Fitzpatrick was losing his head. He was going, we haven't had a good bounce all day. You know, that's a very poor accent. My accents are not coming off today. I've got to work on my accents. That was not a Sheffield accent. But he was bemoaning the bad bounces in the final round of the Scottish Open.
That's not a good sign.
It's not a good sign. You get bad bounces in links golf. And, I just wonder whether Scottish Open took a fair bit out of McIlroy, Fitzpatrick and McIntyre. Whereas Fleetwood, he just glided along, you know, hold a shot from the fairway for eagle on Sunday, beautiful shot. Don't worry, Dave. I think we've got the right guys.
Okay, can you see a world in which Jon Rahm is up there contesting and going close?
Wow, there's a lot going on between his ears. He opened with a 73 in Scotland last week. You know, his media conferences, as we predicted, were challenging again. He's under huge amounts of pressure. Spiky. I mean, he's relaxed in live events because, you know, he gets asked the favourable questions. They don't want to upset the apple cart there. But he comes to, you know, elite company, and he just keeps flopping in elite company. And I've just got not got enough faith in him mentally at the moment. I think he's ready to explode. You know, he's won a couple of Irish Opens on links terrain. You know, he's a capable links golfer, but
great
I don't
golfer.
Trust him.
Yeah,
I don't trust him to keep his composure at the moment in elite company. It's just this is something mentally a little bit off at the moment. So, yeah, John Rahm I can live without. Xander Schauffele's in this short game slump.
Yeah, he's the next one I was going to ask you about. Yeah,
short game slump, Dave, and you know, really poor last week. So, no, I'm happy with my five. I've got one little tops. One little special for you. I'm going to save most of the specials for the subscribers.
I know you're going to like the next question that I ask, because I ask it every time there's a major on. But what does the coverage look like this week? What are you getting up to? What are you pumping
out
and posting online?
We've got a 156 runner player guide that's been published online today, and then we'll be in. Yeah, I've got a pullout tomorrow. Open Championship pullout and Wednesday's Racing Post. All sorts of goodies in that.
Which, by the way, you don't have to go to a shop and buy. You can download. You can get the PDF, you can get it on your computer, your tablet, your app, your phone, whatever. So you can get it, all right? You don't need to go to the shop to buy the actual paper. You can download it.
That's it. Yeah, we've got all sorts of markets we're covering that. I've just got, and then we've got, obviously, the daily in-running coverage on racingpost.com for before each round. So, yeah, keep your eyes peeled on racingpost.com. And I'll give you one special for Sweet Spot fans here.
Beautiful. Let's go.
I haven't gone through all the markets yet. I haven't had time, but I will do for the racingpost.com guys. But Bryson DeChambeau, Dave, I know you love him, but surely you're losing faith in him now. Bryson DeChambeau.
Oh, I lost faith in him weeks ago. Yeah.
My God, he's an absolute header. Like, he's 11-8 to miss the cut, Dave. So he's 8-15 to make the cut. I think 11-8 to miss the cut is a great bet. He missed the cut by 8 shots at Birkdale in 2017.
Wow.
That was a week. Yeah, and he's come to that in form. He won the previous week in the John Deere Classic. So he's come with winning form, and he's missed the cut by 8 shots. He outscored only 4 players in the 2017 Open. He missed the cut. He's missed the cut in all 3 majors this year. And I'm starting to think he doesn't even care, Dave, because I don't know if you saw the footage last week of him in the Canadian Rockies. So he's recording YouTube last week in the Canadian Rockies, up in the mountains, playing a golf course that's completely different to Royal Birkdale. And you've got every other member of the elite is either playing in the Scottish Open, playing at the Renaissance Club, getting some links golfing, or at Birkdale acclimatising.
Was he definitely there, or was it pre-recorded?
He's in the Canadian Rockies, Dave. The footage that was seen was somebody recording him. Somebody recording him, recording his thing. It wasn't released on
YouTube.
That's
just crazy.
Yeah, so that he thinks content is more important than major championship. It seems, and you know, Birkdale doesn't play to his strengths. You know, it just negates.
Yeah, you can't send it and bomb it and overpower this one. Yeah.
No. And you're right. And his short game's been really awful lately. So I would have those prices the other way around. Like, he's 8-15 to make the cut.
You'd make it odds on. That's a fair call.
To miss it. So I'd flip those odds. So I think that's the best special I've seen so far, and there'll be more for the subscribers.
What about this school of thought that these sort of tournaments you want experience, the golden oldies? Is there anyone out there, you know, of a certain age in the field, should we say? I'm sure there'd be a massive price that might show up well.
Well, I think this is the major that suits the veterans better than any of the others. You know,
you can golf the ball rather than just sending it. Yeah.
Strategy, you know, driving distance doesn't matter. Experience of links terrain. Yeah, obviously, I backed Tiger Woods, the greatest bet I've ever had in 2018, because he had that experience and he came to Carnoustie. Carnoustie 2018 was the last time we had a really baked out venue.
Yeah.
Like we're going to get this week. So, you know, have a look at the 2018 Carnoustie form. And I backed Tiger Woods that week because he could take irons off the tee and just plot his way around, and he nearly pulled it off. So you're absolutely right. I mean, Justin Rose is obviously the man.
Yeah, that's the one I was going to ask you about.
Yeah, England's got a great chance of having the winner this week. Justin Rose didn't play Scottish Open he's putting all his eggs in the Royal Burdale basket. And I mean, you'd have to give Justin Rose a chance, but you know, he's obviously switched these new clubs in the middle of the season, and I just wonder whether the Masters took a lot of belief from him, actually, because
a disappointment. Yeah,
do you remember the Masters? He had it at his mercy at one stage in that final round. It looked like Justin Rose was going to win the Masters, and then he played some awful golf from there. So I just wonder whether he believes, you know, I believe in Tommy Fleetwood, I believe in Thomas Tuchel, but do I believe in Justin Rose? I don't know whether I do anymore.
That's fair enough. Right, we do have another golf tournament to preview. Should we move on to that one?
I thought you'd forgotten about that, Dave. Yeah, we do. No. Yeah, it's going to be a long podcast, but who cares? The batteries are going well. It's the biggest sporting week of all time. So I think the viewers don't mind going a little bit longer.
Okay, right. We've got the Corrales Putacana Championship, which Taylor Pendrith is a market leader.
He's been on the Pina Coladas. I love that pronunciation.
Market show, Taylor Pendrith, Christian Bezuidenhout, Blades Brown is up there. He's back in action and he's up there. Mackenzie Hughes, your mate, Stephen Yeager, Rico Hoey, Ben James, Max McCreevy. All the stars are obviously in the Open, so it's a weakened field. Tell us about the course first, Steve.
Corrales Golf Course, Punta Cana Resort and Club, Dominican Republic, 7,670 yards, par 72, 4 par 5s, 10 par 4s, 4 par 3s. The tournament started as a Korn Ferry Tour event in 2016, got PGA Tour status in 2018. Wind is the main defence of the track. It's right beside the Caribbean Sea. Generous Paspalum fairways, not much rough. Sunny and hot weather coming. Moderate breezes throughout, though, so that'll keep scoring in check. For 144 going to post, place your bets by 11:45 a.m. UK time on Thursday. Terms and conditions apply.
How many selections do you have for this?
Just two, Dave.
Just two. It is a pretty simple one. Just two. Okay, who's the main pick?
Blades Brown! It's time to strike. This is a teenage terror, Dave. He's 19 now. He's grown up. I mean, he turned 19 in May. He won the stroke play section of the US Amateur Championship when he was just 16. I mean, that was like unbelievable. And then he played in the Myrtle Beach Classic in 2024, still when he was 16. And he finished 26th. Absolute prodigy. Turned pro in January last year. Didn't bother with college golf. Too good for college golf. Knows he's the absolute business. Made his pro debut in the 2025 American Express. Carded a second round 64. Then, in the same event this year, 2026 American Express, he carded a second round 60. Played in the final group with Scottie Scheffler. So on the Sunday, he got to watch Scottie Scheffler win the American Express. Yeah, Blades Brown is clearly ready to win on the PGA Tour. He's got a special temporary membership, so he can accept all these sponsors' invites for as much as he wants. Blades Brown's here to stay on the PGA Tour. He's played well by the coast, Dave. You know, this is another coastal track. You know, he was third in the Puerto Rico Open this year. He was third in a Korn Ferry Tour event on the Georgia coast this year. Ninth in the Myrtle Beach Classic. Yeah, just consistently appearing on leaderboards now. So, I think he's going to make a barnstorming Corrales debut.
Yeah, big future. Let me ask you, who's going to have the best professional career? Your man, Jackson Koivun, or Blades Brown? Who's going to be the most decorated golfer of the two?
Yeah, it's a bloody good question, Dave. Yeah, I'd give Jackson Koivun the edge. By hugely respect Blades Brown. I mean, Jackson Koivun's obviously been winning college competitions, making a mockery of the college game, whereas Blades Brown hasn't entered it. So it's a really tough question to answer, Dave. Very, very good question. You're like Gabriel Blimmin Clark, whatever his name is.
Some of his questions are quite questionable. Yeah.
Oh my God.
You could just reply with whatever if you want. That's cool.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I know it was good journalism, but I mean, can't we just come together and try not to upset the apple cart? I mean, I know there's
a big debate. I like it. I like tension. Let's not hold hands. I like the tension. We want winners.
Sank. As soon as he said whatever, I was just thinking, oh, flipping heck. But hopefully they've had a man-to-man chat and we're all on the same page again. But yeah, difficult question, Dave.
Which you've still not answered, yeah, really.
Yeah, whatever, Dave, whatever. It's not easy in here, yeah? Have you ever worked in a shed? It's a tough shift. It's a tough shift.
I'm sure it is. Right, Blades Brown then, who is a pony 25-1 out there to win his first title. Who is the other selection?
Benjamin James. Another rising star of the sport. You know, we better keep winning these Ryder Cups because America's got some amazing young players coming up. You know, fast forward a decade and, you know, we're probably not going to be winning Ryder Cups because Ben James, Jackson Coyven, Blades Brown, they're coming for Team Europe. Benjamin James has just turned 23 years of age. Great amateur career. Former world number two amateur.
Oh.
Finished top of the PGA Tour University.
I have to get a different hoodie made for that, yeah.
Yeah, tell Brendan Dew we need a former world number two amateur hoodie. That would be even better. But yeah, he's already got a tour card, this fella, through to the end of the 2027 season. So he's used the PGA Tour University rankings to get it. But yeah, it's the same route Ludwig Aubert took. He qualified for the US Open last month in a 36-hole qualifier. Then he made his professional tournament debut in the Canadian Open. 67-63. Hit the front. You know, halfway leader in the Canadian Open. Rough weekend, finished 54th, but showed his talent. Then he was 23rd in the US Open. So we all know how good Ben James is immediately. He was 62nd in the Travelers Championship, 15th last week in the ISCO Championship on Sunday. So, yeah, I'm putting my faith in two young guns, two emerging
whippersnappers.
Two whippersnappers, yeah. I mean, there was a couple of decent players that withdrew yesterday. Matty Schmidt withdrew because he obviously had, he was playing in that 12-man last chance qualifier. Didn't fancy coming over for this. And Matty Schmidt is an alternate. He very, very, you know, if someone drops out of the open field, Matty Schmidt's in. So Matty Schmidt was,
yeah.
Matty Schmidt's not playing. Emiliano Grier pulled out yesterday. You know, he would have had a big chance, but he obviously doesn't fancy it. So, the only other I possibly fancy was Christian Bezuidenhout. Slow out the gates last week. Really frustrating for us last week, but good over the final three rounds. Christian Bezuidenhout deserves respect this week, but I slightly prefer this more progressive, my two.
He's quite well respected in the market, Ben James, isn't he? I've just looked. I thought he'd be a little bit bigger. He's only 33s. Yeah.
This is the problem with golf markets these days. You know, in the good old days, you know, the opening show prices were enormous. You know, yeah. Really, really, you know, double. But yeah, there's too many shrewdies out there that know about your Benjamin James.
Are there, though? Are there, or are there, you know, it does feel like the layers take the mick a little bit, squeezing the margin in a lot of the, not just golf, in most betting products as well now.
Yeah, I hear you, Dave.
I'd like to hear the view of other punters in the comments below on that.
You hear a lot cut and not many pushed out. You know, they don't balance it very well, I'd say. No, I don't want to get you angry, Dave, because I know you're going to go and attack some cyclist tomorrow.
I'm not going to attack anybody. That's not in my nature, but I don't like things like
anymore.
I saw earlier.
Attacking cyclists, attacking bookmakers. Now,
right, what's the plan this week then, mate? How are you watching the football? What's the story? What's going to unfold then in the football, according to Steve Palmer?
I hope Jude Bellingham and Thomas Tuchel had a heart-to-heart after those interviews. I had a heart-to-heart with my son yesterday. About it. I gave him the worst case scenario of this going to extra time and penalties, and then 3 hours after your usual bedtime you watch England lose on penalties to Argentina. Are you going to be able to handle that emotionally? And we had a good chat, you know, it was a good honest chat, and he kind of admitted that would really test him. So I think Tommy Tiger is going to have to do what he's been doing in the previous rounds, which is we record it and don't tell him the score and then he watches it in the morning. There's a world of difference between seeing Argentina beat you on penalties during the daytime than the late at night, I'd say. So, that's the first big decision made. I mean, there's a lot of planning goes into this. What are you doing, Dave? Big barbecue?
Well, his generation is Argentina and just another country.
Yeah. Well, yeah, no, any defeat on penalties at 3 hours after his usual bedtime will really test his mentality.
I think Wednesday's going to be a quiet one and Sunday could get lively.
Yeah, I like your positivity.
Well,
yeah,
I was at, I was in the middle of London for the last game because I was at Lewis Capaldi in Hyde Park.
Lewis Capaldi.
Obviously, he did not care one jot about the football, being a Scotsman. And we kind of slipped away early enough to see some of the football in a bar in London, which was good.
Republic. Oh, lovely. Yeah, that's great, Dave. Yeah. No,
so this Wednesday is going to be a little bit quieter, and then we're going to get ambitious on Sunday. I think you mentioned barbecue, every chance of that.
Yeah, I like your thinking. No, my daughter's going to stay up for it. And I'm just really excited about the potential for this week, Dave. You know, there's so much potential. I mean, my daughter's got a school leaving thing ceremony on Friday. This is her last week of primary school.
So she's in year six, right? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's going to be a very emotional leaving ceremony on Friday. You got the emotion of England, Argentina, then the emotion of that, then the emotion of a potential World Cup final, and then the Open Championship. I mean, I'm a bit worried now. I'm glad I got this
fit. Steve Carmer is no more.
Well, the Fitbit's on, so I can monitor it, but. Yeah, you know, and obviously the heat wave, so it's like 150 degrees for all those things. It's a big test of character, Dave, but we just got to dig deep. You've got to rise ourselves, as Graham Taylor used to say.
It's going to be a big test.
The second best England manager we ever had, Graham Taylor.
Big test of you in that shed with rising temperatures as well, right?
That's it.
I'm assuming there's no aircon unit in there.
No. I have looked into purchasing one of them. It is getting a bit silly now.
Just continuously just chuck water over yourself, Steve. It's not a problem.
Well, I've got an improved one on that, Dave. You'll be pleased to know. I'm glad you brought that up. Look, I've got this thing, which is supposed to blow up water balloons, but it can direct it. So, I can do
it. I believe you. No.
Look at the accuracy. Look at the accuracy. You can't fail with the squirter.
If you have still got headphones in, please be careful. Right, let's have a roundup then of selections. It, of course, is the big one, the Open Championship. Who and how many are you putting up, Steve?
7 tips across 2 tournaments, 5 in the Open Championship, 2 in the Corrales Punta Cana.
Open Championship we're going for?
Tommy Fleetwood. Come on, Tommy, lad. It's coming home. I believe in you. Believe in yourself. Tyrrell Hatton, Cameron Young, Hideki Matsuyama, Akshay Bhatia.
Big up the ashtray. And in the Corrales?
Blades Brown, cocky young upstart, but you can be as cocky as you like this week, Blades. He does believe in himself, and rightly so. Benjamin James.
I like it a lot. Okay, 5 and a 2, so 10 each way doubles. If you would like to play, do gamble responsibly. Big, big week ahead. We will, of course, be back next week. Final word from you, Steve?
It's coming home. Everything is coming home.
Everything is coming home. Right, you outdo that, as I say. Gamble responsibly. Enjoy the golf and the football, and we'll see you next week.